Blog Talk Radio.
You have a side that's safe for her to go out of state. Now she's in and you can celebrate. A side that's getting your life in sync. Someday retire and hit the links. You got a plan today, yeah, and that's the key. So tomorrow you can get where you want to be. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
All that goofy shit you did for nothing, for nothing. She make you pay, she let me in for nothing.
You lame.
You ain't no killer, you ain't shooting nothing.
You ain't shooting nothing.
I'm in my feelings, I ain't feeling nothing.
Man, I ain't feeling nothing.
Not for nothing, but I'm always hustling.
I'm hustling.
You broke, I'm sorry, I can't lend you nothing.
I can't.
My city hot, man, who turned on the oven?
It's hot.
They ask me questions, I ain't saying nothing.
I'm not.
Man,
nothing.
I miss my time. Huh? I ain't paying no mind.
No.
I just stay to my grind.
Yeah.
And then they seeing me shine. And all this talk about my paper up. Let them know that they late as fuck.
Y'all
I
late.
Never feel I can make enough. Cause I remember when the days was rough.
I
on
know.
The block, I got that crack rock. I'm just trying to hit the jackpot.
Yesterday
we was gang gang, so it's kinda strange today. Sit this old 30 clip in your fitted hat.
Yeah.
I stay
yeah.
out the way and I stay in my lane. I'm
yeah.
stuck in my ways and I'm never gonna change.
Yeah.
One thing for sure, two things for certain.
Yeah.
I'ma toss shit in my nuts gonna
yeah.
All that goofy shit you did for nothing.
For nothing.
She make you pay, she let me in for nothing.
You lame.
You ain't no killer, you ain't shooting nothing.
You ain't shooting nothing.
I'm in my feelings, I ain't feeling nothing.
Man, I ain't feeling nothing.
Not for nothing, but I'm always hustling.
I'm hustling.
You broke, I'm sorry, I can't lend you nothing.
I can't.
Turned on the oven.
It's hot.
They ask me questions, I ain't saying nothing.
I'm not nothing.
I'm trying to chill and relax. I don't do pills on the ass. Stand up to Disney straps. Don't think you get on the tracks. Better act like you know how to act. Better back like you know how to back. Better step like you know how to step. Do a rush when you pay the chest. Better walk like you rocking a vest. Better ball when you giving a check. Better back, better back. Better back like you back to the check. Give you all like you have in the tech. Ring the alarm like it's not a test. Better roll.
For nothing,
for nothing.
She make you pay, she let me in for nothing.
You lame.
You ain't no killer, you ain't shooting nothing.
You ain't shooting nothing.
I'm in my feelings, I ain't feeling nothing.
Man, I ain't feeling nothing.
Not for nothing, but I'm always hustling.
I'm hustling.
You broke, I'm sorry, I can't lend you nothing.
I can't.
My city hot, man, who turned on the oven?
It's hot.
They ask me questions, I ain't saying nothing.
I'm not
nothing. Nothing.
Live on air.
This is a product of Beverly Nation's online radio. This is the Mike Lyle Show on air from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. This is your host, Mike Lyle. What's going on? I'm here with my guy, Big Next. Everybody, welcome Big Next to the show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How you feeling, good brother? How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, you already know Big Next, man. What's going on? It's a blessing to have you here, man.
Oh, man,
you know, this is my
me,
third episode of the Mike Lyle Show. I'm excited to be here, man. I'm excited. You know, a lot of big things going on in the entertainment business, man. We're going you know, touch on some situations, man.
Okay.
But
no, of course.
I wanna touch on a little bit about our history, you know.
Very much
how I met you and
so,
this long journey we've been on, because it's been a journey.
It has, but
you know,
so, so as Mike just said, you know, my name is Big Next. Basically the way me and Mike met was, you know, I moved uptown. You know, uptown is, you know, one of the parts of Philadelphia that, you know, if you're familiar with the city, you know. know how our town is, and I moved up there, and I needed a new barber. And, you know, I had gone into the shop, and all the other barbers, you know, was chilling. Mike was in there cutting. And, you know, I said, damn, I don't know none of the barbers.
Right,
Mike,
right.
Mike
right.
Looking at them. And he looking at me. And he like, anybody cutting you? You good? I'm like, nah, whoever. He look
right.
around at them again, everybody sitting down. He's cutting. He's like, as soon as I'm done this, dude, I got you.
Right.
So, you know, I get in the chair after the other boy finishes. My hair was jacked up, right? Mike looked at me, he's like, listen, I can't save it today. I ain't going to lie to you. So I'm just do the best I can. I ain't even going to charge you today. And when you come back, we're going to get you right. And that's how I met this man. And then fast forward the years later, through the years, I was fortunate enough to work side by side with him when we did security. You know, I was managing security crews at that time. You know,
your
Mike,
boy used to do security. Yeah, your Mike, boy used to do he put me in the security gang.
Listen.
He put me in the security gang.
So I'm a big advocate of if you're gonna, you know, address the folks, if you're gonna keep people, you know, safe and keep things right, you gotta find the right people to do so. You know, Mike had that right energy, Mike was that right type of individual, he could talk to a wide variety of people. But deeper than that, you know, Mike was sturdy. You know, like, if you from outside or whatever, you came across Mike, you knew that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't just everybody else. He was just like y'all to an extent. So, you know, not for nothing, they had to respect that. And that made things easier for a lot of the places that he was in.
Right.
So I say that to say this, like, you know, my history with him is, you know, a lot of different things. And as far as me, what I do, I consult. You know, you can hit my website, tchumandtchume.com, tchumandtchume.com. For consultant services, I do pretty much every type of business. My background covers a lot of different things. You know, Mike and I, we work together in entertainment. We work together, as I said, in security. You know, I've done everything from logistics to pretty much you name it. So long story short, you know, me and him, since we go back so far, you know, we always have a lot of good things to talk about. So when Mike asked me to come out here and to come chop it up with him, you know, pass a few around and you know, discuss the current situations of the world that we want to talk about, you know, I was all for it. It's a blessing to be here, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, man. That was well said.
Yeah, you know how you get
around that, man. Yeah. Hey, listen, man. Get it in, bro. That's what we here for. Now, man, one thing I wanted to touch on was when we was doing security.
Absolutely.
You feel me?
Absolutely.
That was wild, man. The security game is crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see all kinds of stuff. I done drug boys down the steps.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm the littlest security boy in there. You know what I mean? I done seen dudes get punched in their nose by females.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? I done chased boys up the block.
No. Because
they was coming at security.
No, Mike,
you got
to tell my favorite security story with you.
What was that?
Favorite security story with Mike Loud was Mike was working at the Trocadero Theater over in Chinatown. Shout out to the Trocadero, Troc crew, fuck you. Shout out to my whole squad. But
Troc.
Long story short, he happened to be working the night that Two Live Crew was there.
Facts.
I happen to be working over in another part of town, over in Fishtown at this spot called the Barbary. They was doing an event there called Tiger Beats. It's like they Monday night party they would do. Where downstairs they play indie shit, but upstairs they be playing hip hop and, you know, shit like that. And so Mike called me up after the show and he's like, Yo next. I was like, what's up, Mugga, what you doing? And he was just like, yo, I'm here, I just finished working the Two Live Crew show and I'm with Two Live Crew. And they probably get into something. What's up over there? I was like, you know what we doing over here? Would you want to try and have him come through and do something? He's like, listen, look, I'm just sliding through. We're going to talk to this nigga. This nigga's not really going to bring Two Live Crew to the Barbary at the after party last year. Sure enough, who pulls up? Mike and Two Live motherfucking crew.
Two Live Crew.
And them niggas upstairs in the world's tiniest DJ booth giving a show to a crowd full of motherfuckers that was probably made to some of their songs.
Yeah,
that shit was fan fucking tastic. That was,
yo,
like,
that was one of the most epic nights
mm-hmm.
of my life. You hear me?
Shout out to the bar.
I was working the back door, and brother Mark from Two Live Crew.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Yo, man, you know any good jazz spots I could go to after this?" like, jazz spots, bro. He like, I'm like, jazz spots? Like, man, I'm trying to listen to some live music. I said, listen, man, I don't know about all of that, but after you perform, I'ma holler at you, you know what I mean? I found him. I went up to his dressing room. I said, what's up, man? You still trying to hang out? He said, yeah, man, what's up, man? Man, the boy jumped in my car, man. We was out. He told me, whenever I come to Miami, man, he said, whenever you come to Miami, man, let know what I mean, just hit me up, man. I should have hit him up last time. I was just in Miami in September.
Man,
but, you know, we're going to move right along with the show, man, and get into our first subject. Our first topic.
I'm here for it.
Rest in peace to the 8 lives that was lost in Astroworld. You know, I hope everybody that was injured have a speedy recovery and whatnot. The situation in Astroworld, I feel like, could have been prevented, man.
It's a little bit more nuanced than I think a lot of people give it credit for. And what I mean by a little bit more nuanced is, all right, so let's first start with just the security aspect, right? So from a security aspect, was there enough security there for that size crowd?
Absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. The ideal ratio, you don't want a security personnel managing more than 3 to 5 people. So that's the ideal ratio. Now, in a festival environment, you're going to stretch that a lot more because of the amount of space and range. Meaning, as long as, you know, you set them up in strategic areas, you're going to be able to still maintain a good presence if something were to happen, but you don't need to overstaff. The problem is with the post-COVID world,
right?
Finding security is not easy. It wasn't easy before COVID. It's even harder now.
Right.
And all because somebody has a security shirt doesn't mean that they're trained to handle large crowds.
Trust me.
Like, me and this man right
my
here.
My first time in the trap, they shoot me right in the mosh pit.
Yep.
I didn't know where the mosh pit was.
Listen.
They threw me in that. I see all these people bumping into each other and going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hold on, man, what they got me doing?
But you know what the funny thing you saw was? You saw what people actually refer to as mosh pit etiquette. You saw that if somebody knocked somebody down, they helped each other back up.
Right, right.
They weren't actually hurting each other, right? It was a friendly thing.
So a lot of what I heard at Astroworld, people was just stepping on people not even caring.
So that's something that happens when you have inexperience. So this isn't an act of the kids being evil or anything like that. This is an act of the kids have seen moshing on TV. This might be their first mosh pit. They don't know what the fuck to do. So they're out there doing whatever the fuck kids do, right?
Oh.
And because the security there probably never worked a mosh pit, they didn't know what the fuck to do. So they don't know how to encourage the correct etiquette and make sure people are doing it safely.
Another thing,
mm-hmm.
Speaking of kids, it was
I know what you mean.
A lot of underage kids in that crowd.
So you remember
what were they doing there?
So all right, so you remember when we worked at the track. The track did have all ages shows, where they would have a 21 and up area and then they'd have a all ages area.
Right.
Now, the way that you do something like that is that you maintain certain boundaries and restrictions. Basically, your general populace area will end up being the area where no alcohol is permitted, but then alcohol is permitted in the restricted areas. Unfortunately, when we were talking about the security aspect before, most of your security forces are going to be focused on just checking IDs, if anything.
Right.
They're not actually going to be enforcing anything. And that's another thing, too. People have to realize that security can't really do that much. Like, from a legal standpoint, like, it costs a lot of bread to be a security guard. And I'm not talking about your licenses and all that shit. Like, listen, if I didn't follow the proper protocol before I put hands and feet on somebody, I was going to jail and I was paying wild amounts of fines. And it didn't matter how justified I felt doing it. It doesn't matter how threatened I felt, none of that shit. Unless I followed certain protocol that I was trained on, then I was going to jail.
So just know, when you see a security guard knock somebody out on WorldStar, he's going to jail.
Chances are he's going to jail. So, all right, I'll say this. The only way that somebody is not going to jail in most cases is if you see them knock. Exactly. So if the person assaults them first,
right.
If the person brandishes a weapon, and in today's age and climate, if somebody were to spit in your face, all those things would be considered attacks, right? So any of those things, now the guard is, you know, okay with using what can be considered appropriate force. Now, appropriate force means if he knocks you out with one punch, that's the only punch he's allowed to throw.
Right.
Whatever force is necessary to subdue the person is the force you're allowed to use. Mm-hmm. Now, this is another thing, too, when we're talking about the security thing over at Astroworld. So I was also hearing reports about security guards getting poked with needles.
Yeah.
So I've never been in no situation like that. I ain't going to lie to you. Me speaking very candidly for myself, I can't speak for the security community. I can speak for me. If a motherfucker stab me with a needle, they're dying right there. And I'm not making threats. I'm not talking wild. It's just because I don't know what was in that needle. And you might have altered my life or ended my life because
right.
you felt like being funny.
Right.
I don't play that way.
You're not going to play with
so
my life.
So you're not going to play with my life. So understand that there's security personnel that think like me. I'm sure that I, even though I'm speaking for myself, I'm sure I'm not speaking for myself. And all I can tell you is, if you're the type of dickhead who thinks it's funny to stab somebody with a needle, understand that somebody who thinks it's just as funny to stab you with a box cutter.
Right. Now, okay. Now, not to switch the subject.
I'm sorry.
But
that was
that's cool. That's all cool. All
right.
Because we keep it 100 on this show. All
right. I appreciate it.
We're going to keep everything clean. Cool. I mean, we ain't going to sugarcoat nothing.
All right, cool.
But I wanted to switch the subject and ask you about how you feel about everybody putting the blame on Travis Scott. Was it his fault? Is it his fault? Could he have done more? Should he have just shut up and just stop rapping? I mean, I know as an artist, there's a lot of light.
Yeah.
A lot of light. So you really can't see.
Right. No, I can understand that.
So.
So what would be my perspective on that?
Yes.
All right. So, I've had the opportunity to see situations like that played out in different ways. So first I'm going to go with the positive, right? It was out in Chester. They were doing like a Chester Community Day. This was like 2017, some shit like that. This is when I was working in insurance. And at the time I was out there giving out child safety kits to the community in Chester because me and my wife were down there. Now, Little Mo was on stage performing. Shout out to Little Mo. I did not realize that I enjoyed her performances that much until I was there. And the highlight of her performance was when this young girl, who maybe in her mid to late teens, was pushing a stroller up to the front so she can get her better, you know, view of the show or whatever. And I don't know whether she got overheated or you know, if she had some sort of medical condition or something, but the girl collapsed and started convulsing. And Little Mo sees it from the stage. And so she starts, like, motioning to security to come over there while she's in the middle of the set. Then she stops her set and tells them to come over there and start singing to the security exactly where the girl is. Like, I was like, she really, like, she put everything on pause to make sure that this person was okay. In addition to that, you know, I mean, that wasn't really a unique experience. Like, I've seen artists show that level of responsibility with their fans.
I want you to hold that thought real quick because we got a track by Brother O coming up right now.
All right,
We gotta go to a commercial.
Okay.
All right.
I'm piffing that motherfucking gas. Got a thick little dot. I smack it up fast. Ass giving me top. I told her don't stop, I do not nut fast. I'm back in my bag, these pussies is mad. I guess they back on their rag, give them a pass.
tell her fall back. Squat, flip my head. Cause I go from zero to doing the dash. Flip from my eight ball to four and a half. I do the moves, I draw when I spaz. Fuck all that weight and I'm right on your ass. Niggas be sneaking, I just got my grass. Watch where you step, cause my drip got a splash. Niggas so dumb they could drown in the bath. I hope one of them do, I could use a good laugh. Briefly amusing on the fact that the math is a whole lot of racks to put back in my stash. Philly, my homies, it's feel like I wreck. So wherever I'm at, I got two on my strap. If I'm in the trap, then I'm never on lack. And I'm out of this bitch when I'm done with the pack. Copy the plug, hit him up, now I'm back. And I will put you on, but you look like a rat. Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna rat on myself. Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna rat on myself.
Never had a lot of homies, I was on my lonely, I was on my own, ayy. Nah, nigga in my zone, ayy. Brody down, put him on, dang to the wind, made it through the storm, ayy. Yeah, we knew it all along, ayy. We could do it all along, niggas try, so we moving with these on. Thug lights had to prove it, so it's on, ayy. What type of stupid is he on, ayy? Watch how he moving, what he doing. Young niggas getting used as a pawn. Niggas set the bait like fools, what you doing, ayy? What you want, ayy? What you want? Nigga, tell me what you want, ayy.
Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna rat on myself. Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna rat on myself. I ain't never been played with. They be ratting, I ain't never gonna taste it. I ain't never on no hate shit. So much shots, I be ducking like the Matrix. My killer never naked. I did good, so I'm chilling cause he lay shit. Watch who you pray with. Be the same nigga hit you on some snake shit. I roll a ream and he got the trick pound. Get hit with his back like I'm taking the mail. Remember I got my pack and I broke this shit down. Double up on the rack and I grab me a pound. They be like, how you turn an egg to a pound? Then I grab me a gag cause it's brain shit now. Drew ain't that nigga, how do you sound? They say Drew ain't that nigga, how do you sound?
Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna write on myself. Never gonna ask for no help. Never gonna play myself. Never met a hater I felt. Never gonna write on myself.
We are back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Mike Loud Show. I am your host, Mike Loud. Back with my guy, Big Neck. What's going on, my guy?
Oh, man. So, hold on. Let me first off slide my phone up over there because we want to turn that shit on so that way we can share the live. Watch Mike's screen on the top. I'm going to be up there, y'all. Shout out to my folks that jumped on. To get back to the conversation that we were just talking about, we were just talking about what happened to Astroworld, right?
Right, right.
And we were talking about it from a security aspect, right?
Right.
And we're talking about it now from the part of the artist's responsibility. And we just left off with examples of, you know, of how artist responsibility can play out. I was just talking
right.
about how Lil Mo at that event in Chester has mm-hmm. thanked today to security to get them to go help that little girl. But on the flip, I remember an event where I was working at the Trock. It was one of Currency's shows. Shout mm-hmm. out to Currency, Young Roddy, and everybody. It was a great show. But there was an incident where some kids in the crowd was acting like dickheads. And so I'm doing security for the event. So I go over there to go, you know, cut all that bullshit out. We had to put an end to it. And so I go over there, and while I'm gripping them up, you know, Smoke Dizzle, who's on stage performing, happens to see me, right, gripping uh-huh. up the people. Now, mind you, this was one of those shows where, like, and this was back in the era where if you smoked weed at an event or at a venue, they wasn't having that shit.
Oh, yeah.
This is when weed was still jail time, kind of.
Right.
Philly was still on that bullshit, right?
Right.
So it's like, if he was firing up, we wasn't trying to catch no flying, so we had to put motherfuckers out, or at least tell them to go put that shit out.
Right.
So these motherfuckers, you know, I go over there and go put them out. Smoke Dizzle sees the interaction, and he starts, oh, man, don't be doing that to them, man. Fuck security. And then starts having this crowd start chanting, fuck security.
Mm.
Right? Now, mind you, I understand artistry. And me and him, shout out to Smoke Dizzle because at the end of the night, I went right to him. And I was like, yo, bro, that wasn't cool. He was like, oh, man, look, it was just showmanship. I was like, I understand it because, you know, like, I do understand you're trying to go ahead and, you know, maintain the show and the energy of the show.
Right.
But what artists don't think about, and it was something that he hasn't thought about until we had that conversation, what I said was basically, I get it, but that put me in a situation. I'm there to keep y'all safe.
Right.
So that's exactly. You can't put me in a jam.
Right.
So I say that example to say this. As, you know, as Travis Scott being a big artist and whatnot, I understand that there's a lot of lights on him, there's a lot of shit going on and all that. And that's cool and all that, but I'm going to keep it a beam. Like, one, you should have been doing this shit long enough where you should have been able to read the crowd's fucking energy and see that something was off.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, Roots Picnic, right, the last one that they had before the pandemic, when the stage collapsed, I know everybody heard about it. I was
right.
there. Me and Kiki
right.
was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? When we were there for that shit, when the crowd collapsed, when the stage collapsed, 21 Savage had just stepped off the stage when the stage collapsed. So everybody automatically thought that a fight or something like that had broken out over there. Mm-hmm. Us from the other side of the pavilion or whatever, all you see was a collapse, a commotion, and then people running. So, you know, with everybody there being black, everybody thinking the same shit, off they fighting this gun.
Right.
That did not happen. Now, here was the thing. 21 Savage is still, like, trying to keep the crowd calm. And then I forget who came on after that. Another singer, I forget who it was. She had came out afterwards, and then she had kind of reiterated the same thing and calmed the crowd down. And I use those as examples of if you are an artist and you're performing somewhere, a couple things is going on. One, you want to protect the people that are fucking paying. Those fans are paying. You better keep them whole, healthy, and happy. The next thing is this. You have a lot of fucking liability. You already heard Drake and fucking him got hit with lawsuits.
Oh, Drake too.
Yeah, they hit Drake one just because Drake was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, listen, and that's the crazy part. Like, if you're not mindful about certain things, you can end up placing yourself in all types of legal jeopardy just by fucking being careless or irresponsible.
It was people chanting stop the show. And I want to say this too. The industry, the hip hop industry, is satanic. We ain't gonna move away from that. There's a lot of satanic symbols and imagery that was at that festival.
All right, so I know what you're talking about. You're talking about, like, the portal to hell and the meet you on the other side.
Do you think a lot of that negative energy play a part in the outcome of the whole situation?
All right, so first, could there be merit to, you know, to those, you know, to those theories, right?
I'm a big believer in the spiritual world.
I am too. That's the reason why I'm the type. So me being African, you know, shout out to Lagos Radio, by the way, because, you know, y'all neighbors to us. My folks from Ghana. But, you know, on that tip right there, I understand that there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of powers from the old world that get utilized and implemented, whether people realize it or not. Do I believe that was a ceremony? It could be.
Right.
I'm not going to say it couldn't be, but what I will say is this. If it is, right, let's play both advocates, right? Let's first go with if it is, right? So if it is, you know, a ritual or whatnot or what have you, how much do we know about that ritual to say how it's going to impact anyone or anything? And the wildest thing about that is because we are wildly ignorant to how those powers used to work.
Right.
Like, we all know a lot about Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and all that shit, but we know nothing of the old religions and the old magics and
like
the old
magic
shit.
And all of that.
You know, we know bits and pieces that people were able to hold on to and pass down through, you know, word of mouth and
right.
a few texts, but outside of that, there's a lot of shit that's lost. So you have to first look at it that way, right? And now on the other side, let's go with it wasn't, it was just all happenstance and coincidence. Because
that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sitting up here saying that part of the, you know, well, the ritual. What I'm saying is the energy that came from that.
I know.
Pause.
So, all right, so we talk about the energy that came from that. The energy was manifested prior to the event happening. And the reason why I say the energy was manifested prior to the event happening is because you have to look at him as a brand. So this nigga as a brand, Travis Scott as a brand, right?
Destiny, you right, too. Destiny on live, she said.
Salute.
Yes, that energy is energy.
You know, but the thing about that energy that's wild, right, with that whole Travis Scott shit, is that this is the energy he's harvested from the very beginning. So seeing these type of outcomes shouldn't necessarily be surprising. I don't mean that shit like, oh, you should know what happened. But it's the same way as if a street rapper is talking about shooting niggas and getting shot all the time. What happens eventually? The nigga gets shot. Or the nigga that was
right.
talking about moving bricks, what eventually happens? It gets popped.
Right.
Right? So when you talk, you know, a lot of, you know, ethereal shit, because he does touch on regular trap shit, but a lot of shit he gets into isn't necessarily that. You know what I mean? And
right.
what I mean by that is mainly the frequencies of the records he chooses, because frequencies, you know, touch on different things.
Right.
He's already been harvesting 17. And I ain't going to say that shit like that's, you know, a good or bad thing. Because I don't know enough about that energy to speak on.
It's spooky, man.
Huh?
It's spooky.
Well, you know what? Life is spooky. Fuck it.
I mean, I don't know about that.
No, life is spooky.
Hey, listen, man. If y'all listening, call in, man. 516-453-9133. 516-453-9133, call in. But I don't think life is that spooky. I mean, we got the coronavirus out here. We got the polar caps melting.
We got
the murder rate in our own city.
So which out of those three is probably the thing that you would want to touch on first, Mike? You tell me.
Man, there's so much stuff to touch on, man.
I know. That's why I said I won't be one pick. I'm going to let this is your show.
You know, the violence is disgusting me, man.
All right. You know what? I want to
touch on this violence a little
let's
bit.
Let's get to it on the violence. All right. Everybody knows it's real spooky outside right now. If you're in tune with the streets whatsoever, you know how crazy things have gotten. Right. For those that don't, you know, the pandemic played directly into it. And the reason why I say the pandemic played directly into it, so understand the criminal world has been operating forever, you know, and it's evolved already whatever it was before the pandemic happened. And then the pandemic happened and, you know, they told people to stay inside and they told them if they went outside to mask up. And they told, you know, police officers not to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it created a window. And during that window, people took the opportunity to go ahead and capitalize on that window. And
by the way, didn't you feel alienated to everybody else that you was around? Like, when it first started, and I'm talking about strangers. Like, when you first out and you in a supermarket or something. When somebody get too close to you.
I ain't gonna lie.
Did you feel like you was invading people's space?
No.
Or people invading your space?
So my pandemic experience was different. Like, when the world shut down and everything froze up, I'm the type of person where I automatically think everything ain't shutting down. And the reason why I think everything is shutting down is this is motherfucking America. There's always money outside, right?
Right.
So I went ahead and dusted off my trusty Uber and Lyft app.
Right.
And I logged right the fuck in, and I was like, oh, this is an essential service. I'm essentially going to go outside and go get a couple of dollars, right? I called up my folks, my parents, and they was like, listen, my mom, she's a retired nurse. She's like, all right, this is what you want to do. You want to sanitize the car like this, where I'm out there looking like, you know, I'm going to the operating table
right.
while I'm taking things to the supermarket.
Right. Shout out to Instacart, and shout out to the DoorDash, because that's...
Yo,
shout out to all the gig workers in the pandemic
because they kept y'all moving. And
that's exactly
you,
what I was doing.
You know, and they'll tell you that the world was a very different place when everybody was inside. We've seen a lot of shit.
Right.
Like for instance, one of the wildest things I saw during the pandemic, right? I remember when they was talking about how they expected Frankfurt. You.
Hey, that's the, so, right. So we're, yeah, so we're on the radio, actually. You have to call in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, call in. Call in. Don't get on the live. Call in the radio so we can hear your voice. We can interview you. Mm-hmm. I want to have an interview with you next time my show come around, too. So call in. It's 516. We got people jumping on the live, y'all. We going live on the air, and we going live on Instagram right now, y'all. So if y'all tuning into the show, make sure y'all call in at 516-453-9133. Call in. Yeah, 513. I'm sorry. 516. I'm sorry. 516. But stay right there. We're gonna go to a break. Music by Brother O coming up right now.
She gon' meet me at the dance, cause she need a nigga that's lit every day.
Aye.
Don't even play in her face, if you ain't a nigga that pay how you play.
Aye.
She bad and bougie from the Bay,
yeah.
But I met her in the A.
Aye.
And I ain't got seen like Trey, that pussy get wet from a
hand. That drill shit, that drill shit.
Well, here go, little bitch.
Little
I'm at a front me another bag up. It's 300 now for the zip. I'm about that loud pack,
that ta-ta.
Only rapper weed in my back. I'm about to find me another bad bitch to do everything that I ask. That's right, ooh, when I say something. Shorty make it clap like a Draco. I'ma pop that pussy like a Draco. I get up in the shit and wanna stay low. She better got a bite like J-Lo. Damn, I told her don't stop it. By the end of the night, she gon' have her hands all in my pockets. We about to go and hit the mall. I'm about to take her ass shopping. Baby gave me neck like an ostrich. I had her panties wet in my cockpit. She fuckin' with me when I go OT. She ain't never met a nigga this damn true. She don't want no product, she don't want no LP. When she with me, she want fucking chill.
She said that we friends in front of her friends. She don't be actin' like strangers. She stay by my side, I like how she ride. She got that bottle, the banger. And if you step on my way, then she gon' spray. I'll leave you in danger. Me at the days, shorty come out on the way. She said that we friends in front of her friends. She don't be acting like strangers. She stay by my side, I like how she ride. She got that bottle, the banger. And if you step on my way, then she gon' spray. I'll leave you in danger. Me at the days, shorty come out on the way.
She said that we friends, and she let her friends know. She said she gon' ride for a nigga, but I ain't a man though. She more like a track queen. She be running a band though. She think she the lucky one, but she don't know I'm a band though. Got a bad bitch and she shooting. Rerun shit with no juke in pockets, double fat, that's Bruce in on some nervous shit, that's Retusin. In the hood just cruising. Shorty put her head on my lap. I'm like, damn girl, what you doing? She say, yeah, niggas like that. So I pulled over, hit the backseat. She a nasty bitch and she's grabby. She did that, if you ever got a problem with a bitch, just tell that bitch to get at me. I said, get at you, she said, exactly. Looked over, just tapped me. I blow the dust till I'm Jackie. Keep that bitch shit that's Sean Bradley. Got a problem, you can add me. Dash me, tag me. I'll be pulling up on that ass gladly. Like, how, what the fuck you gotta ask me? It's on the way, get a jet ski. You can bring your Henny and a Pepsi. I'm on my way up, moving jet ski. Dash man, doing everything that they said they wouldn't let me.
Friend of friends, she don't be acting like strangers. She stay by my side, I like how she ride. She got that bottle, the banger. And if you step on my way, then she gon' spray. I'll leave you in danger. You meet me at the days, shorty come out on the way. She said that we friends in front of her friends. She don't be acting like strangers. She stay by my side, I like how she ride. She got that bottle, the banger. And if you step on my way, then she gon' spray. I'll leave you in danger. You meet me at the days, shorty come out on the way.
Everybody, we got a caller next.
Oh, shit.
We got a caller. Caller 1 in queue right now. What's up, caller 1? How you doing?
Caller 1, you're alive.
Caller 1, you're alive.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you're alive. Yeah, we hear you. We hear you.
Hi. Peace and blessings, brothers.
How you doing?
Hi. This is Sister Bessie.
Hey, Sister Bessie, how you doing?
All right.
Welcome to the show.
I'm enjoying your show, but I wanted to ask you brothers about a situation that I saw on the internet. There was this sister that was a real good singer, and she was beginning to move in her, maybe possibly her career, but her son shot her. And left her out on the sidewalk. You know,
wow.
I've been seeing where a lot of newcomers in talent is getting killed. You know, this young man shot his own mother. So I wanted to know, being that you all are youth were brothers, how do you feel about that when you hear about our people killing each other like that, especially this young man killed his mother?
Well, sister, anytime I hear about anybody losing their life, it's sickening to me. Anybody taking anybody else's life is sickening. I can't wrap my mind around it. I mean, I understand situations in self-defense. You got to do what you got to do. But just taking somebody's life senseless like that, or even disrespecting your mom, talking back to your mom, is a big no-no how we grew up. I don't know where the gap came in that, but it's people like Big Necks, me, a lot of people I know in my circle, you know, that Brother O, that's trying to make a change and talk to these young brothers. And we just got to keep trying. We just got to keep trying.
Yeah.
I'm going to touch on that. So, you know, Sister Beth, thanks for asking about that question. I was unfamiliar with that story, so I took a couple seconds to kind of just read up about it online. The singer looks like, so shout out to the band True Soul. That was the group that she was a part of. Her name was Latoya Cree, and she was 41 years old. Oh, wow. So when I'm, you know, reading through the story, like Mike was saying, it was a domestic dispute, and somehow it escalated to the point of a gun. I'm going to actually, you know, go at this a little bit different, because this kind of brings up a conversation that, you know, me and my homies was having not too long ago, right? And it was about teaching different types of confrontation skills and conflict resolution. And the reason why we're touching on that is, from what I'm reading in the story, I'm just going off of what little bit I see. I don't see any mention of the boy's father, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how that may play out in the long run, but for me, when I first see something like that, no comment from the father, no reaction or anything like that, it leads me to believe that the father may not be that much of a presence, right?
Right.
So if the father's not much of a presence, that leads me to believe that, you know, probably most of his influences were women growing up. Now, I'm not on no sexist shit, but what I do, and excuse my language, but I do recognize biology. And what I mean by recognized biology is, before we get into the discussion about how people self-identify, when you're born, you're either born with a surplus of, with an ability to create a surplus of testosterone or the ability to create a surplus of estrogen. When you're born with that ability to create, you know, a surplus of estrogen, right? And I'm saying this from me being a man who grew up in a house full of women. This is not me being a woman or understanding women, right? But from what I've seen, when women engage in conflict, they're much more cerebral, because estrogen ends up, you know, driving things on a more emotional level. So because they're a lot more cerebral, they may say or do, you know, things that feel very hurtful.
Right.
But because this is the way they fight, they may not escalate it to violence after something like that happens, right?
Right.
On the other side, with men, we're, you know, we're born with testosterone, right? Testosterone ends up giving you a very different chemical response. It's the reason why athletes end up using it in, you know, as a supplement sometimes.
Okay.
What testosterone does is it fuels your adrenaline. And when your adrenaline gets fueled, it turns into that fight or flight reflex.
Right.
Right. And when they say that women are from Venus and men are from Mars, growing up because of those differences in the chemicals in your bodies, we very much do grow up in different worlds. Because with men, it comes to that fight or flight reflex. And because we understand that once it gets to the world of violence, there's a long way that violence can go.
Yes.
You're taught resolution skills from older people to keep, to help you avoid violence at all costs. That said, if you're not given the proper ways to deal with the potential, you know, your potential to tap into your testosterone incorrectly, if you're not taught how to harness that power, correctly wield that power, it can manifest in ways like this, where here you are in a situation where you're arguing with your mother.
Wow.
Your mother is a woman, first and foremost. Before me, she's even, you know, your mom. She's a woman. So
yes.
Her being a woman, she's not having the same type of argument with you that I would have with you. She's going to say things differently, and she's going to say things in a different way to have a different emotional impact, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
But what he didn't recognize was that his response to her womanly way of putting things should not have been a man's response. He gave a man's response to a woman's, you know, aggression. That was incorrect. And that's something that he would have learned had he been around the right people. I'm not even going to say around just, you know, males, but he had to be around actual men, you know.
But do you think we have a generation of young men today that actually have not been taught how to deal with women today?
Yes.
This is what I'm looking at.
Oh,
they have not been taught, because the average black female is aggressive. They have always been aggressive. But the young men today have no male figure to teach them how to properly deal with a woman when she is aggressive, how to walk away.
But it's not about y'all being aggressive. It's not as much that black women are aggressive. Black women are passionate, and black women are powerful.
Yes.
So because of those two things,
right,
when you have that passion and that power come across, it can come off strong to the wrong people, right?
Yes.
That said, typically you end up seeing that side when they're doing something that they care about. When they care about someone or something, it's typically when you see more of that energy.
Know what else? A lot of people don't step back and realize the black woman has been on this planet longer than anybody else.
And dealt with the most bullshit along the way.
And dealt with the most bullshit.
The absolute most bullshit. I feel so, listen, on behalf of the world, I apologize, black women.
Yes, and we love you.
I didn't do it, but I'm sorry. Because that shit was, y'all got the worst end of the stick.
And there's another thing that I want to say, because there's a lot of good black brothers out here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good, excellent black fathers.
Absolutely.
I mean, love their children to death.
Mm-hmm.
We're some of the most passionate fathers, some of the most attentive fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a study. You can go look it up. But
I believe it. Yes,
but it's a lot now. Now violence is everywhere. Chinese people kill Chinese people. White people kill white people.
It's based on proximity.
Right. So we are dying at an alarming rate because we are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's other races dying too. I'm not saying it's cool, but you know we gotta learn how to love each other and stop killing each other. Period. We got to stop going to war, because war is wrong too. You feel me?
You know what? But you know what? You know what? It's crazy when you said that thing about
you
got to love each other.
Yes.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank, Thank you so much, brothers. I needed to hear you. You give me hope for our community. And thank you so much for all that you
definitely
do.
Definitely hope for our community.
Well, thank you for just, you know, tuning in and for being a part of the communication.
Thank you for tuning in.
But, you know, to kind of touch on the thing that you saw about loving each other. So here's the thing. The black community actually does love each other. The problem with love is that love is right there on the edge of hate. It is right there on the edge of hate. And the reason why I say it's right there on the edge, you heard that song, "The Thin Line Between Love and Hate." The reason why is because when people that you love end up doing things that you don't understand or that hurt you, you end up taking it personal and it takes it to hate. And
right.
Sometimes people aren't doing that to hurt you. They didn't do it for, you know, with you in mind.
Right.
And those are the things that we have to remember. The worst part is that the biggest enemy in most situations is poverty and ignorance, which go hand in hand.
Right.
You know, I say first, let's talk about the ignorance. When I'm talking about ignorance.
Well, let me stop you right there.
I'm
in. Right. You got to go to a break.
You are. All right.
You got to go to a break. Hold that thought. Right. It's getting good, man.
Right.
Hey, this is getting good, man. Track my brother on right now, man.
Damn, Aiden, you a killer.
Hey, yo, let me let the beat breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, I'm gonna lose all my patience. Let the beat breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second. Let me let the beat breathe for a second. Hey yo, mic check 1-2, look where they come to. When I'm on a mic, I be kicking that shit like kung fu. I'm who them biddies run to. I ain't a young dude, I get high, hit the booth, treat the beat like junk food. That means I eat it up. I suggest you play my shit in the winter. Hop in your wheel, I better heat it up. She with me, then she treat it up. She say I'm a fly little slick nigga. I said that's me as fuck. They break their necks just to be with us. Man, I swear when my dogs in this bitch, ain't no fleeing us. You never catch me down, always see me up. I told you that I'm out of this world, tough gotta beat me up. It's either with me or against me. 2021, I don't care about nothing.
I don't care about nothing.
You niggas gonna learn. If I don't get it turned, then I'm taking what I'm wanting.
Let me let the beat
free for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, I'm gonna lose all my patience. Let the beat breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second.
Beat the pussy up like it's stove like stuff. And I ain't tryna hear no daddy, let me hold some. Hold up, little mama, you ain't know I'm a hoe. I'm gonna, my papa was a rolling stone, I'm a roll runner. They love when I was down and they hated that I'm back up. That's the reason why I never put the strap up. She only on dick cause I went and got my racks up. Now I don't wanna hit if she ain't pretty with a fat butt. I ain't got no brakes, been on the road like a Mack truck. Ever since the CEO cracked my gates and told me pack up. That was back in 09, I ain't never looked back. No thanks for the game cause it showed me how to cook crack. It had me going to school with the glizzy in my book bag. I wish a bully tried me, I'ma make him look bad. Aim it at him then squeeze. Hit him all in his chest, do free.
Let me let the beat breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, I'm gonna lose all my patience. Let the beat breathe for a second. Cause if I don't, it's gonna leave us at the table. Now let me breathe for a second. Let me let the beat breathe for a second. I bet y'all didn't see this one coming. Me and Lyle about to have an AMS. I'm jumping. We about to turn this bitch into a function. 2021, we don't care about nothing.
Yeah, bro, this some sick shit. Let them know that we ain't the ones to pick with. I'm Jackie Chan, high kick shit. Don't be mad when I send your girl a dick pic. Yeah, man, so we back with my guest, Big Neck. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What up, what up?
If you tuning in, man, we're touching on some subjects right now that might be a little, you know, touchy, but they need to be touched on.
Right.
Because entertainment ain't everything, you know what I mean? We got to start bringing some light into reality. You know, entertainment is one thing and reality is another. But we walking in both. And we gonna be walking in both. You know, we gotta be influenced in both.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely gotta stay, you know, trying to influence these young boys, man. And me being an older artist, I'm around a lot of younger artists. And, you know, I be on y'all top, man. I mean, making sure y'all ain't getting in no trouble. And if y'all is, I ain't with it. I'm going to let y'all know it ain't cool. You feel me? All that op and boy, op, I'm going to, you know.
So, Mike, you know, I've been privileged to have, you know, in-depth conversations with you, you know, through our relationship. I want you to do me a solid real quick and give them a little bit more on your background, why you say that street shit is not. Tell them about your experience in the street. Speak on that real quick, Mike.
Man, all right. My experience in the street started young. At a young age, just like a lot of young boys out there right now. Started off, I don't even remember, man. I probably was stealing cars first, then started selling drugs. Now I'm stealing cars, selling drugs. Now we robbing people. I mean, by 15, man, I robbed McDonald's when I was 15. You feel me? And they wound up keeping me till I was 18. I came home. I started rapping when I was like probably like 19, 20. No, I started rapping when I was 14, but I really started rapping.
Can I ask you a question? Well, like during that period where, you know, you robbed the McDonald's and, you know, you had to go ahead and sit down at such a young age, mentally, where were you at? Like, what was Mike Wild like at that time? Where was your spirit at that point?
Mentally, I was young. I was still dumb. I was still, you know, I was locked up, but it was like summer camp for 3 years. But it was like summer camp for 3 years. So I was probably wilding out the whole time, know what I mean? But on the con, I was sneaky, know what I mean? I knew how to play the program. So I played the program, but I still had my way. I'm still coming home smoking weed.
Yeah.
I mean, on home pass, because we got home pass. So I feel like now, if I would have, they would have sent me upstate, or if I would have went and did some real time, I would have came home and been cool. I wouldn't have came home still doing the same stuff. So that was probably because I ain't had my dad in my life. I mean, like, so I was probably doing all of that because I ain't had nobody to tell me, yo, chill the fuck out. You know what I mean? I needed somebody to tell me to chill out. You know what I mean? So in my 20s, I'm out. Everybody know my songs. I'm playing in the Netherlands. You know what I mean? I'm playing across seas. You know what I mean? Everybody in the neighborhood know my songs. And I'm still wild. You know what I mean? I'm still getting locked up at the court. 4 or 5 gun charges, you know what I mean? But I wasn't out there trying to hurt nobody. I mean, I was probably carrying guns because I didn't want nobody to hurt me. So, but it's that mentality that everybody wrapped up in. That's where you get, you know what I mean? That's where you get all of this violence from, because dudes ain't like, I'm going to fight this boy, and then,
all right,
we're going to shake hands. It's going to be cool.
Right.
No, you fight somebody, and you don't know what they're going to do now. So, or they want to take it there. It ain't no
but,
equal. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's no conversations. It needs to be conversations.
It's been like that for a long time.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know what it is.
Striking
down.
So, you know, the reason why I was asking that question, Mike, is because, you know, you touched on the fact that you're an older artist, and you touched a little bit about how a lot of the struggles and a lot of the things that you dealt with was very similar to what some of these younger artists may be going through right now. And I'm touching on that for two reasons. One is to kind of show that the shit that these younger artists are going through is nothing new. Like,
nothing new under
sun. Which tells us that this isn't a problem with this generation. It's just a problem. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta stop making it about the generation and just realize it's a problem, right? And then the other part too that I'm taking from it, Mike, is the fact that you were you know, fortunate enough to live to a point in your life where you can have culpability, you can start understanding right. more about, you know, how you, and you said something that really stuck out to me, Mike. You're talking about how, you know, your father wasn't around, so there was nobody to tell you no. I was having a conversation with, you know, one of my homies recently, and we was talking about that. We was talking about how black men, as we have a very hard time with authority. And the reason why we have a very hard time with authority is because if you don't end up having the opportunity of having a father or a father figure in the home,
right.
you don't end up seeing how if somebody is the big dog, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the most aggressive or that they're there to eat all the little dogs' food. No, the big dog earned the right to be the big dog by taking care of all the little dogs and only ask for reciprocity, right? And once you understand that, you stop getting intimidated by the big dog. You just learn from the big dog.
All right.
So that way you can be ready for when you're a big dog, you know. But because we don't, in a lot of cases, get the opportunity to get molded that way, you know, a lot of us end up having situations like yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's why it's like I'm glad to hear that, I already knew what that time you were on, Mike. I'm not surprised that you out here, you know, getting in tune with the younger artists, because that's already what type time you're on. You're already getting in tune with the younger people, but you've definitely seen already how important that was.
Definitely in the barbershops, man.
Mm-hmm. I seen how many of those young boys you were saving.
I lost a few, man.
You can't save everybody. And that's the other part, man. You learn that in life real early, that you may want everybody to be there, but everybody ain't going to make it. Some people are supposed to be just, you know, a moral to a story.
Mm-hmm. And this is a story.
Yeah.
The story of your life, my life,
mm-hmm.
our life,
combined
mm-hmm. into one.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
We're here sharing the experience, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so y'all got our own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got our own path, man. I'm walking mine.
That's it.
And I'm just trying to walk mine to the best of my ability. You know, overcome all my demons. Keep fighting every day. That's what I encourage people to do.
For sure. Here's another part, too. People also have a skewed reality of what success is, right? And it's even harder nowadays when we're sold images of what other people's version of success looks like, right?
And ooh, yeah, you bring up a good, yeah, keep going.
You know what I mean? Like I
touch on that, too.
Like, not for nothing, I noticed a lot of younger people deal with depression differently than we did. Only because they have to deal with pressures that we didn't. You know what I mean? Like, at worst, we had to worry about being the coolest nigga in school. These motherfuckers got worried about being the coolest nigga on the planet. When we was talking about, you know what I mean, the whole thing about, you know, not knowing what somebody's going to do when you get punched, is because back in the day, if you got punched, if nobody was around to see you get punched, it didn't happen. You know what I mean? Nowadays, everybody got a camera, and it's going viral.
World star.
Yeah, like, right. and I'm not going to sit there and say that, like, if I'm still a young person who's dealing with learning my body and learning my emotions and learning how to deal with testosterone or estrogen and don't have any male presence around to go ahead and teach me conflict resolution, I ain't going to say that it wouldn't go that way. So when we, you know what I mean, like, the problems that our community are dealing with are multi-layered. And I think that, you know, we should just really stop making it simple points. We've got to stop saying, oh, if this part of us would do this, we'll be better. Or if this part of us just did this, we'd be better. No, there's a lot of little shit that's happening, and it's all of us that have some part in it. And the other part is we can never expect perfection. All we can do is just everybody work on their part. You know what I mean? Work on your part. You know? Be cognizant of your part and work on that shit. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think, getting back to the Travis Scott situation, and
right, that's where we started at, actually.
Back to the entertainment.
True.
Do you think that the entertainers should be more involved in the communities?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where their money is coming from.
It's where their money comes from. It's because that's where they're from.
All right, so what is stopping them?
Fear. So I'll tell you why it's fear. One of the problems with when you end up getting out the mud, right, is you don't want to get dragged back down into it. And the fastest way to get dragged back down into it is by the hands of all the other people Nipsey that are still stuck in the mud.
So Nipsey helps.
Well, you know what? And Nip was, I'll tell you this, my personal opinion, and I can't speak on that because I'm not a part of that life whatsoever. But what I will say from as an outsider looking in, I don't even feel like that was it with Nip. I feel like that was just, they should have never had him in a situation where he was interacting with anybody. Because
you don't have to.
Because he
come
was the cash
to the hood.
Well, deeper than that, I'm like,
be a part of it.
Listen,
like, or to have your hands in it. You don't have to come back.
Well, I mean,
you can set up some stores. You can.
Well, look at everything he was doing for the community, for
right.
his community.
Right.
He was.
But
fine.
Did he have to hang it?
That's my point. Well, no. I'm gonna go a step further. You can go home. You can hang out at home. But when shit from home happens, you shouldn't have to be in the middle of it.
Right.
Like, from what I'm understanding of his story, he had an altercation with somebody, and that person came back, and it turned into that. And, you know, I don't know why he was the one who had that confrontation with that person. Why wasn't there somebody else around who had that confrontation so he could just focus on opening that store that day?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because then if that had happened, you know, then he's maybe not the target, and then he's still there to benefit. And here's the worst part. Even by saying that, that's still not a fair thing to say, because then that puts the other person's life at risk.
Yeah.
So not for nothing, you got to live off the decisions you make. And he decided to go ahead and place himself in that situation and have that confrontation that led to that,
right.
You know. And so
and
I can't
that
say that
for a lot of people. I tell a lot of people I don't get into domestics.
Yeah, because I don't know about it. I'm not in it.
If you're fighting with somebody, I'm not going to break it up.
Yeah. That's your
tell y'all to stop, but I'm not getting in the middle of it.
No.
But I also tell people, when you're getting into a fight, it could be your last fight.
Mm-hmm.
That could be your last fight. We got another caller. We got another caller.
You let him fight on
caller that. Two. Caller two, you on the air with Mike Loud, Big Next. How you feeling?
You.
I am good. How are you tonight? I'm Chantilly
good,
J.
Good.
And good. Just listen to you guys. Now, I talk a little bit about Travis Scott now. So Mike Loud, listening to you talk a bit of what I heard. Now I have a question. Now, are you Mike Loud because you're loud and like obnoxious or something, or are you Mike Loud because you smoke a lot of loud? Now, which is it? Or is it a combination of both?
Loud is me. Is my attitude. I got a loud personality. I dress loud.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a lot of loud colors,
okay.
Colorful colors.
Okay.
My microphone is always loud. I don't know that. My microphone is always loud. My voice carries louder than everybody's voice in a microphone. I never get that. I always got to tell the DJ to turn my microphone down. So it was like, and
okay.
I smoke a lot of loud. I smoke a lot of
okay,
loud.
Okay,
so,
so it was a combination of all of that. All
it's
right.
a combination of all of that. It's a combination of all of that. That name was just meant for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah.
Now you're in Philly?
Yes, I'm in Philly.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. I'm in Philly. And,
okay.
Wow. I got to get you out to our events and stuff when we start back having events. Yeah, so now with this Travis Scott, now this is like really kind of weird. It might sound kind of strange, but I had never heard of Travis Scott. I didn't know who Travis Scott was until this
Astro
World incident. And
even when he
you
had
know,
the burger
so,
from McDonald's?
The what?
Remember when he had the burger? He had the burger. Everybody was going crazy for this Travis Scott burger at McDonald's.
No, I didn't even hear about that either. Probably because I don't eat McDonald's burgers, but I had never heard of Travis Scott. And, you know, with that horrible concert with, you know, those people getting killed and now, since, you know, another person died too now.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's just that's so sad. So now the death toll is up to nine people died, and so many people were injured. And it's really sad. It's so sad. And, you know, I just can't even imagine being at a concert and something like that, breaking out, happening like that. And, you know, even a nine-year-old boy got trampled over and all that stuff. And, you know, it's
I do not understand how little kids were in that crowd with all those people.
No, it wasn't. So I've been in crowds where you had kids, and it was cool. It was really, that was the worst combination of everything happening at once. That was you had the wrong artists with the wrong security staff with the wrong crowd on the wrong day. It was everything that, you know, if you're in that business that you hope wouldn't happen, everything wrong happened all at once for it. I could look at so many different points where everything was wrong with that situation, from the artists to the stage managers to, the sound and lighting engineers, when they started seeing that happen, should have cut his mics and then directed lights onto the crowd. So that way it would have just lots of different things that could have been done. And there's culpability to hand around all over the place. If I was a lawyer, I'd be looking at this, rubbing my hands like Birdman, because there's so much liability everywhere. And all this does is just highlight how a little bit of carelessness and irresponsibility can end up impacting a lot of people.
Yeah.
I still think that
Black Magic played a lot into that too, and that they messing around with those symbols and calling all kind of spirits.
Let's not call it Black Magic. Let's say magic.
Not Black Magic, but magic.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't know if Black Magic is bad or good. We just thought that Black was bad. Everybody I know Black are.
Not the Black Magic, the satanic rituals.
All right.
Because it was a portal. It was a portal. They opened the portal.
You know what? So if they did or didn't open a portal, right? We were on that subject.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that what was going on? They were talking about opening up a portal?
This is a part of the conversation that we were having earlier. We were discussing whether or not there was any satanic implications with the Travis Scott thing, right? There was a lot of imagery and there was a lot of crossover that, if you do research, does end up tying to a lot of things in the arcane, right? A lot of the flyers, a lot of the advertisements, the stage settings, all that stuff. And from a cinematic standpoint, I could see an artist actually doing some research on some stuff like that and deciding to use it as a selling point, not knowing what they're playing with.
They gotta stop playing with it.
Like, people will look at things in books and read stuff and say, "Oh, like, you know, it's kind of like back when people were kids and they were playing with Ouija boards,
right?
Yeah,
they didn't know what they were.
Or lighter than a feather, stiff as a board, shit like that. Like, you start playing with shit like that, and you think, all right, well, this might work and might not. Well, people forget how powerful the mind is.
Right.
If you really put your mind to something, it's gonna happen.
Right.
So if you have that many people putting their mind towards these images and these frequencies that you're putting out, you can do it. So, you know, a lot of this could have been, you know,
that's real spooky, man. It's real spooky. And the whole situation is just like, it's heart wrenching, man.
And
what is the guy's? What is the guy's name? That young guy that he dyes his hair all different colors and he be wearing the dresses and stuff. I cannot think of his name right now.
Young Thug.
No, the one that came out with those sneakers, right? He had those sneakers, and the sneakers were, dedicated to Satan.
Little Nas X.
Yeah.
But that's our time, caller. We have to go. We have another caller. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you listening. It's been nice meeting you. Caller 3, Ewing. How you doing?
Yes.
Caller 3.
Yes. How are you doing this evening? This is Terra Strength. I just want you guys to know that I'm really enjoying the conversation. It's like you two are sitting on the front porch at night just talking about different topics and going back and forth. This is outstanding to hear. And your topics are very interesting, and your perspectives on them are very interesting. So you're doing a great, great interview, Mr. Lau. Just want to say congratulations that I'm really enjoying the show and the flow of the show. And your guest, I guess is outstanding. And you guys
thank
are you guys
are going. Next, my guy, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Keep tuning in, man. I'm glad that there's folks to join it.
Definitely.
This is how we talk. Like.
You get a chance to hear any of the music.
It's encouraging to hear you guys are two intelligent brothers, you know, chopping it up, and you really making a lot of good comments about a lot of things you guys are talking about, you know, the other world, the nether world. You're going from Travis Scott and talking about imagery and talking about responsibility. So it's some good stuff. I'm just glad you guys let us sit in and listen in on your conversation. Outstanding show. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Well. Mr. Mike Lau. Of course, it's your man. You know, the myth, you know, always with the plan. And Gozy. First of all, I want to thank our brother tonight because what you guys are saying is so true. We got to watch out for things and each other. You hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. Watch out for things. Whatever that thing is, watch out for that, and all the people out there who are individuals, you know what that thing is, right, in your life, and then protect each other. And I love the fact that, like our Tara Strip said tonight, who was just on, and of course, before Terrace was our new anchor, Chinchilla J, Sunday nights, every night with Chinchilla, and every fourth Tuesday with Terrace. Mm. A lot of times we don't have that intellectual conversation. I know what it's like to have a father in the house. I was talking to a friend of mine today. I know that love that Mike just said, yo, what's up with you, bro? No, you're not doing that. Take your ass back in the crib, bro. We just deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's right. Lost in our community. You know, and I've been saying this for anybody that knows me, if you just became a host yesterday, or just like Antonio Bass way back when, children. Where are you? Parents, do you know where your children are right now? There's no way in the world a child is 14 years old in the city of Philadelphia, in the city of St. Louis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, gets shot at 12:30 in the morning. Back in the day, even when moms worked, you knew your latchkey ass should be in the crib. Just because. You know, you don't want anybody bringing it into your house. You want to make sure everything is cool. You know, your mom might have worked overnight, but you was in the house, though. You know, you might invite your kids over. You know, we all did the things we did. But
was in
the house.
You but, you know, you touched on
something. No. Hold it. I'm sorry. It's my time right now. I got to. It's commentary. Not to cut you off. But the fact of the matter is that, and then definitely we're going to have that, trust me, Big Nick's going to talk right after. I pay the bills. But his situation, there is a level of greatness with all people. These are your children. And I always say this as well. Hey, you coward-ass parents, why are you marching against police violence and not marching against the own violence? So little Ray Ray that just got killed. You fed Ray Ray. Remember Ray Ray? You fed him. You went to some of his games. Oh, that broke him. Put him in the basketball. He's dead now. Remember little Shay Shay? She was a great dancer. She got shot in the head just by walking to school. And the only people that cry out for that one moment is media, the news media. How dare you? You cowards. All of you. that a lot of these things are happening in your neighborhood. Are you willing to die for your child right now? Are you willing to teach our children the way, the old way, the old time way, like your old folk, like your grandma would say, the old time way? Mike Loud has sparked the energy in me. You know how I get down. I don't really care about your opinions because I'm a genius. But however, we must do better when it comes down to our children. We're losing our kids, man. Every single day, a child that was alive. Listen to this one here, guys. A child that's alive right now is going to die tomorrow. He might die tonight. He's alive right now. Got himself in situations. Or maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. First of all, your child should be in the house and then at an age of 18. That's your responsibility. Hey, boy, I don't care what's going on. You can lose your life out there. You need to be in the house right now. It's dark. What's up? You know, and my grandma always said it best. You know, daytime turned to night and playtime turned to fight. Tomorrow night in these only stations, we have me, your Honeybee, and one of the shows that finally I get a chance to do a show, right? The Honeybee Files. Tomorrow night, I get a chance to interview a man, a myth, and a legend already in Orny Diner. And also, congratulations to Mr. Boston for passing his internship. Now he is the host, but I'm going to interview him tomorrow night. Perfect timing, right? Jeffrey, Mr. Boston Sanders, will give his six testaments to his truth and poetry right here on the Honeybee Files by me, Olasky, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these ONE stations. And, of course, Beverly Nation is advertising the ONE, which is on LaBelle Ingalls Enterprise Reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment at wordpress.com, as well as in Gozy Prime Time one at webnet.com. We're in Gozy Time both for Twitter and Instagram, Olabelle and Gozy at Twitter, Google Plus, Olabelle and Malay, we're in Gozy at Facebook, as well as our business page, The Mike Loud Show, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio. It started 2013. And any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, olaydaylay.gozymy@gmail.com, and I am the 2021 International Internet Radio Producer, Ms. Ronnie. But most importantly, your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Delaman, Lay Wayne, Gozy, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on our Fortune Radio that support us on a constant basis. And for the next 3 minutes of the program, we go back to Mike Loud and Big Neck. Hey, guys, you got 3 minutes left to go in the program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are back.
I got to tip my hat to him because he unloaded a lot right there, and he actually
touched on
that boy good. That boy good. I tell you this is what I appreciate about it, because he touched on a couple things that you hear often in the community that I think are very important narratives to address. So, when we talk about the difference between what's happening now, you know, what was the past, definitely the presence of fathers in the home were make a big difference. But we also have to remember how much the black world changed in the 80s. It can't be understated how much crack cocaine devastated our communities, whether it was in the cities or the burbs or wherever around the country. Like, that shit changed the dynamic, and the policing that came around it changed the dynamic of a lot of things. In addition to that, at that same time, we also had the advent of the internet. And we also had the invention of cell phones. The whole world changed to a different place.
Yes.
Without any type of structure in place to help that transition.
Yes. I mean, they brought technology in a little bit slow. For
They did. Yeah.
There's still technology out there that we don't know about, mm-hmm. because they feel as though we're not ready for it. But that play a big part in it. You've seen the whole world change. But it's through these, you know, different situations,
right,
that bring about these changes. The changes of the behavior of people. You feel me? Like, now, people only look up to people with money.
Somebody said something wild earlier today that actually brought up something. Somebody said that people are, what's in that, guys are dating bodies and women are dating wallets.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Everything is the dollar bill.
Yeah.
Everybody when they live a glamorous life.
You know what? And, you know what irritates my soul? It irritates my soul when I see a dude comment like, oh, man, that girl, she's wifey material just because she's attractive. You don't know anything
right.
about that woman. She might be a complete piece of shit. You might
right.
be a complete piece of shit.
Right. So we got to stop. Everything they glitter ain't gold. My
yeah.
mom just tell me that.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lies. They feed in that lies. Most people eat it, American pie. Can't tell them nothing. They love their government. Show them corruption. Now you want some other shit. Sleep all you want. I'm bored in that mothership. Third eyes open. I'm free from their covenant. Bush stole the White House and fucked up the government. Obama took 8 years just trying to recover it. Here comes them Donalds. 1% loving it. Stop listening to the lies, man. Stay woke. Stay woke out in these streets. Stay focused. Go get that paper. Live your life. Be happy. This is the Mike Lyle Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of it. See you next time. Time next month. You already know what it is. Thank my man Big Nex for tuning in. Coming in. I think I'm going to do a live. I think I'm going to do more live interviews, man. I like the live interviews.
I
think I'm going to do some live interviews with all my hosts from now on, man.
And you know a lot of good people, so I'll definitely be tuning in to see.